Okay, show me the title. Israel's Divine Healer. Israel's Divine Healer and the Power of Blessing in Your Life. This is a subject I've been working on for about, well, maybe 9 years, but hardcore 3 years. I think I've spent a minimum of 1,000 hours, but probably much more on this concept of blessing. And it's taken on a massive shape in my thinking, my heart. And this Israel's Divine Healer, I want to commend this book to you. I've already commended it to Pastor Billy. This is Michael Brown. He's a scholar, and he wrote on healing from the Old Testament. And this is the book, and this is the footnotes. So it's a substantial work. That's footnotes. This is the book. So I encourage you to get that book and devour it. I just carry it with me kind of like my pillow because I'm loving it so much right now. And it's incredible. So I'm going to jump into it. About 9 years ago, I was at a church, and they asked me if I would come and give a blessing service. It was a 25-year dedication, and they wanted me to bring a blessing. I thought, great, no problem. It was a problem. The only problem is I'd never done that before. I didn't even know what that blessing service was, actually. But, you know, that's what I do. I preach, so I said, sure, I'll do it. So I studied, and I went to the Book of Concordance, and I looked for blessing, and I found what seemed to me, go ahead to the next one, to be the best blessing passage I could find, number 6. So I was ambushed by this. I didn't look for it. I'd never done it. I didn't say this. I'd never prayed it hardly. Didn't even think about it. And I saw this passage, and I thought, okay, and so I began to break it down. It's a phenomenal passage. It's 3 lines. 3 words, 5 words, 7 words. It's the most complete blessing, formula that I could find in the Bible. And I began to study every single word. I looked at every single word. And as I did this, I went, shoot, this is intense. And so my first question as a guy is, does this actually work? Like, does this work? You know how guys take things apart? I don't, but others do. But they got to see if it works. You can turn me down a bit if you could, just a little bit, because I'm whispering. I learned to preach. There we go. I learned to preach in Nigeria, Africa, under mango trees. My congregation were bare-breasted grandmas and 5 to 10-year-old boys and girls in the middle of the bush, and no one spoke English. There was no running water, no electricity, no ice cubes, no ice cream, nothing you like, no toilet, just me and a tent and my congregations. So because they couldn't understand a word I was saying, I had to talk real loud and do lots of theatrics so that they would kind of like wonder what he said and listen to the interpreter. So that's how I started. So I've got a very loud voice. So I looked at this passage and I thought, does this actually work? And I came to the conclusion that it has to work. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you bless the people. You want to know how to bless the people? Say this. Say this. I went, really? So if I say this over myself, my family, will I be more blessed than if I don't? I had to conclude, I got a verse there, Hebrews 11:6. I had to conclude that without faith it's impossible to believe God. I must believe that he rewards those who seek him. So if he tells me this, it has to be true. The same faith that gets me saved and in the door, and the Holy Spirit came into my heart, November 24th, 1976. I knew it happened. I went home. I went to bed. I woke up. I went, he's in there. He's still there. He's there. This is new. We haven't felt this before. You know, I look in the mirror. God's in there. You know, I'm just, God's in there. Now, that was faith. But most people stop there because, you know, they have to believe God for their salvation. There's no other way. But they don't have the faith to enter into the next realms. So I concluded this is true. Number 6. I concluded. Then I asked myself a different question. Go back one more if you could, Shannon. I asked myself another question. Will I be less blessed if I don't say this? Now, that's a scary thought. Because I probably went, 45 years of my life never saying this at all. In other words, have I missed out on stuff by default? I went, oh, scary. So I began to say it all the time. I began to bless myself all the time. I walked around continually going, Lord, bless me, keep me, cause your face to shine upon me, be gracious to me. That's how I lost all my hair. I blessed myself so much my hair fell out. Pastor Billy got this doctrine years before. I'm thinking of moving my hand. Lord, bless me, keep me, cause your face to shine on me, and just shrinking right there. Anyway, so I started getting this text, and I became, obsessive compulsive. I just drilled down, 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 down. I drilled so far that I scared myself and got myself almost confused and into unbelief. I'll tell you about that in a moment. In other words, it's really cute when it's there in number 6, but when you start exegeting blessing, because there's, blessings in the Old Testament, probably, I've got a real scholarly book on it, they say 400 times. The Bible Gateway would say 388 times in the whole Bible. This guy says 400 times just in the first, in the Old Testament. It's in Genesis a minimum of 88 times. Way more than love, way more than everything is blessing. Blessing is the big deal. And so I'm thinking about this blessing, and I'm going, okay. And then I jump from, Genesis into Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, and I went, oh my goodness. And the blessing is so huge, so mammoth, so gargantuan, that now I was confused. Because everything it talked about in there, I didn't see happening in the world, in the church. And I immediately knew that everybody who's going to listen to me is going to stop believing this because it's so great what God wants to give you. So I had to go backwards and do some more work. You're going to get that right now in the next 15 minutes. And then I'm going to push on you to knead into your spirits this incredible faith of how God wants you healthy. Healthy, whole, healed, etc. Now, of course, I have a caveat here. I mean, I've been in the same church 30 years, pastoring close to 35. And, it's a funny thing, our faces. They're kind of like little masks. We all come in with skin on top of us. And underneath and inside, people carry a lot of pain. It's all sorts of sick people. I was in Vancouver with James Maloney. Is that his name? Yeah. And he's incredible. The man moved into, those visions he does. And he says, okay, I'm going to do 3 or 4 visions. And then I'm going to pray for the sick. And he goes, zoom. And he goes in, this person was 8 years old, and you were on the stairs, and you fell down, and you cracked your tailbone, you've been in pain ever since, da, 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 da. And I'm going, who's that? And they're like, oh, and then he prays for her, no. So he does about 4 of these. And then I go, wow. Now he says, okay, I'm going to pray for everybody that's sick here tonight. He sits on his stool, and he asks me to come and help him, because I'm strong like bull. And I'm standing there next to him. And he says, okay, if you're sick and need prayer for healing, line up. 95% of the church lined up. I went, what? Like, this many sick? And I'm standing there, and I have to kind of be his helper and his interviewer and find out what's wrong and interview with if they get. And every single person there had something wrong. And I'm going, because I don't have anything wrong. I almost have never had anything wrong. And I'm thinking, this many sick? And something went, and I went, oh, the pain that people carry around into church, week in, week out, the disappointment, the hope deferred, huge. And I'm trying to be careful of what I'm saying, because I know the flip side of this coin is great discouragement, depression, and everything. But the other side is, if somebody doesn't say it somewhere, somehow, sometime, we're not going to move out of that place. We're not camping in the wilderness. So I asked myself, okay, where's the first time blessings found in the Bible? Do you know where the first time blessings in the Bible? Anyone? Yeah? Like, what's the first one? First one. You should know this. You know it, but you can't tell them. Take a guess, except you two. That's what I thought too. Go ahead, a couple verses to Genesis 1:21. I was shocked. The first word of blessing in the Bible is on day 5. Watch it. Birds and fish. Birds and fish. I go, birds and fish. God bless birds and fish. Is he Australian? Birds and fish. I that stumped me. I went, birds and fish. Birds and fish. Day 5, birds and fish. Day 6, he created all the animals and mankind from the dust of the earth, and he blessed them. I went, okay, birds and fish and mankind and the animals. But what common denominator do we have there? Life. God blesses life. He is the life giver. He breathed his spirit into Adam. He became a living soul. God blesses life. Genesis 1 right there, 1:27, he created mankind. Listen, if you're breathing tonight, you're blessed. He wants to bless you. If you are alive, you are set up for blessing. Come on. This has got nothing to do with Old Testament. It's not rooted in the law. The very first word that mankind, a human, ever heard, the first thing he heard was this: I bless you. God Almighty was blessing his creation. And the word blessing means to endue with power for success. He says, I'm gonna speak authority into you so you will succeed, you will be fruitful, you will multiply, and you're gonna subdue or have dominion or take over or have rule, governance in the earth. And I'm gonna speak to you the empowerment to see this happen. That's huge. Right there, that's huge. We're already off to a roaring start right here. So if you're breathing, if you're alive, you are ordained for blessing. That's a good word, by the way. And you see it? And then the summary passage, Genesis 5:1, I'm going to speed up real fast now. Genesis 5:1 was a summary before we get into Noah and the whole, you know, that bad movie you saw? Noah, you saw the movie? Okay, that mess. Okay, the summary statement is this: God bless mankind. If you're a human, God wants to bless you. That's his will, to bless you. If you are a human, if you're a bird and fish, and you have air, he wants to bless you. That's good news. Okay, well, things didn't go so good after the flood. You know, that was a bit of a disaster. So he decided, here's what I'll do. I'll start with a family, and I'm going to work through to bring my everything about me, the knowledge of me, to the whole wide world. Genesis 12:1, he chooses, you know, an Iraqi. Could have been hook-nosed, who knows, Abram, and he pronounces this massive word on this one man, Abram. He says, go, Abram, to the place I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. All the peoples of the earth are going to be blessed through you. This is so huge. I don't even know of any king in any ancient writing that got any word from God like this at all in the history of the world. This is grandiose. I'm going to bless the whole wide world through you. Amen. I mean, think about that. You got in your car an hour and a half ago because of this prophecy right here. Come on. This prophecy moves 2-3 billion people of the planet are doing what they do because of this prophecy. And this is like thousands of years ago. I bought a book once for its title. I didn't read it. I lost it. So I bought it again. I didn't read it. I lost it. I bought it a third time. I don't know where it is. I haven't read it yet. I might order it this next week. A fourth time. Just for the title. Huh? What is it? Okay, here's the title. Ready? The Gift of the Jews. How a tribe of desert nomads changed the way everyone thinks and feels. I'll say it again. Thomas Cahill. The Gift of the Jews. How a tribe of desert nomads changed the way everyone thinks and feels. What you think, what you believe, and how you feel about life is based on a Judeo-Christian platform. Right here. Came through this right here. It's what this motivates your thinking processes right now. Okay. So I categorized those eight right there. You can see those, Shannon. Now go ahead to about a long ways. Like Galatians 3. I'm just going to jump. Now here's the problem. When I tell you about healing tonight, you're going to be tempted not to believe it. It's too good. Too good to be true. Probably isn't. Right? And because it's in the Old Testament, rooted in the Old Testament, although it carries through because there's really no difference in the old and new, I have to get you just to believe one New Testament verse just because. So Galatians 3, 7. Okay. Now, the promises given to Abraham are yours. The promises given to Isaac are yours. Because God appeared to Isaac just like he appeared to Abraham, and it was a cascading flow. It's to you and to your offspring. The promises given to Jacob are yours. To you and your offspring. The promises given to Joseph are yours. And from Joseph and the children of Jacob, whose name became Israel, the children of Israel, you get the massive tribe of desert nomads to whom God broke in and talked face to face, out loud, dictated out of a voice in a tent. And he wrote it all down. Now, suddenly, when you see the stuff in the five books, you don't believe it anymore. You say, well, that's the Jews. Wrong. That's not true. Because it says here, understand that those who believe are children of Abraham. If you believe tonight, you are what's called a child of Abraham. Amen? Yeah. Okay, now how do you know that's true? Because they wrote a song about it. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right leg, left leg, turn around, spin around. Right? So you know this is true. Now, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. So he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. I never saw that before. I only got this one, by the way, about 6 months ago. About December. I went, oh, no, this is incredible. I just got it. Like 40 years, I've been reading this and never got it. Just got it. So he announced the gospel to Abraham. What was the gospel he announced to Abraham? Do you know? Okay. What was the gospel that you got? What did I get? What kind of gospel did I get? Gospel means what? Good news. You want to know the gospel I got? I came in the 70s. 76. God has a wonderful plan for your life. But you're a dirty, rotten sinner, and you've been separated by God from all the stuff you've done. And so there's a great gulf fixed, and you're actually on your way to hell. But Jesus loved you, so he came to earth, died on the cross, stretched out his hands, because I was raised in the Plymouth Brethren, shake you over hell with a rotten stick. And if you'll just come across from that side to this side and stop doing everything that's sinful, fattening, and illegal, and hang out in prayer rooms for about 70 years, then one day you'll die and go to a cloud and do more prayer rooms. But you won't go to hell. That's the good news. I went, huh? I'm really between a rock and a hard place here. Like, I didn't get saved because I loved God at all. It was pure, raw terror. Is that my wife? She knows I'm talking about her. But I thought, it's better than nothing. I was a rugby player, Canada players. Oh, no, I'll never sing again. Because all I knew was rugby songs. That's the good news. What kind of good news did Abraham have? I don't think anything was illegal, sinful, or fattening back then. He didn't know anything about that. All he knew was, I'm up there worshiping idols, and God appeared to me and said, I'm setting my affection on you, and I'm going to be your bodyguard, your rear guard, your front guard, everything about you. Everything you touch is going to turn to gold. No one can get at you. Anyone who tries to get at you, I'm going to get them. And I'm really God, and I can really do it. Amen. Really? Not only that, I'm going to give you this whole nation. It's full of Canaanites. They think they own the place. They don't. I do. I'm going to give it to you. Not only that, your family's going to become the greatest family in the world. I'm going to bless the whole wide world through you. Really? What the? That's awesome. What do I got to do? Nothing. Show up. Show up. See and go. Show up. Really? Well, that's awesome. In other words, God wanted to be his friend. Is that too hard? Abram believed God. He was called the friend of God. Adam, where are you? I want to walk with you in the cool of the night. Adam, I want to be your friend. Moses talked like a man, face to face, like a friend. He wants to be your friend. That's good news. He doesn't want to bang you with a big club. He wants to be your friend. He went, wow, that's awesome. Great. So that was the good news. All the nations are blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. If you have faith, you're blessed along with Abraham. If you have faith, you're blessed along with Abraham. Watch this one. Verse 13. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Okay, so he redeemed us from the curse of the law. You're not under the curse of the law. He redeemed you. This is good news. It's going to make sense in just a moment. He redeemed us in order that, watch it, the blessing given to Abraham would come to you, the barbarians, Gentiles, non-Jews. So we get now what they got. Are you catching it? You get every single promise they got. You say, well, what about the bad ones? You know, it's like, blessed in the city, blessed in this, but if you don't, you're going to, you know, you're going to curse in the city, curse in the, you're going to get the itch from which you cannot be cured. There's a whole bunch of baddies in that chapter 28, I'll tell you that much. But those are curses. And Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, not being able to measure up, the prophets began to announce there's coming a Messiah who would be the king, who would be the suffering servant. He would take upon himself the sins of the nation, and we would be healed by his stripes. So you get all the blessings and all the curses he paid. That's substantial. That's substantial. So if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and you're an inheritor according to the promise. 14 minutes more? 15 minutes more? Do we have 15 minutes more? Is that good? Is that good? Then we'll go into prayer. Okay. So here's what you want to do. You want to go through all the patriarchs, chapter 12 to 50 of Genesis. Put them on your computer. Read through it 100 times and see every good thing that happened to them. Circle it in yellow and just pray for it. That's yours. You get that. That's a big wow. I'm doing it all the time now. So I'm just preaching on them all the time. And I just read it all. Notice, I mean, got dreams and all sorts of stuff. It's phenomenal. God, I want that one. I'll take that one. That one too, over here. Okay. So, wowie. So, Shan, I've got a list of 8 little blessings there, about 7 down. Maybe you can find them. Just go ahead. Click, 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 click. No more. There it. No more. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Forward, 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 forward. Forward, 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 forward. Are you going backward? Forward, 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 forward. There. 8 of those. And so usually I do a couple of them or 4 of them. But I'm writing a book on it, and I'll give you all these notes if you want it. I'll give you the address afterward. But I want to just touch on health, fertility, health and fertility and fruitfulness, okay? So go ahead to 3 slides. It's declare the blessing of health and healing. Right there. Now, this is phenomenal. This is absolutely phenomenal. I get so much hope from this. It makes me so encouraged. So it says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. None will miscarry or be barren in the land, and I'm going to give you a full lifespan. Now, this is substantial. This is huge. Now, of course, context is everything. Who's he talking to right here? The Jews, okay. The nation of Israel. Where are they? Wilderness, good. What are they doing there? Huh? Okay, everybody wandering around. Actually, no. They just got there. This is only a couple weeks in. Haven't you seen the movie? They haven't done anything wrong yet. They're just starting. This is chapter 23. This is 5 weeks in. Chapter 15 is about, you know, a couple weeks in, which I'm going to show you in just a moment. So they haven't done anything wrong. What they're doing is they're going from oppression to a promised freedom. What do you call people running from oppression to freedom? Good, good. Refugees. This is the largest refugee camp in the world. Hello? Okay, this is a refugee camp. They're in the midst of their refugee camping. They sacked Egypt. They took all the water and everything. They sacked Egypt. Now they've run out. And God says, if you worship me, I'm going to be with your food and water. That's substantial. Doesn't mean anything to us. We just flip a switch, turn a tap. But for Jack and Shirley, when you're in the bush, food and water is big. God says this. You can have absolutely nothing and be a 400-year slave community, refugee, but I'm stepping in and I'm going to be with your food and water. Do you know how liberating this is to preach to refugee camps, which we do? To tell men and women, God wants to give you dignity. You have the authority to call for the blessing on your food and water. Come on. Come on. That's good news. That's a blessing. But I'm going to take away sickness from among you. None will miscarry. There'll be no barren. Long lifespan. You say, whoa. Whoa. Now, where does that come from? It comes from Exodus 15, the basis of divine health. Divine health. This is like just a couple days in. They cried to the Lord because they're out of water. So they're out of water. They drank all their water. And they came to a place called Marah, and it was bitter. And they cried to the Lord. And the Lord issued them a test. He says, if you do what I say, stay with me, I'm going to take care of you. And none of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians are going to come on you. Why? Because I am the Lord that heals you. I am Jehovah Rophe. It means God the healer. That's my name. My name is God the healer. So when we just start baseline, he's God the healer. God the healer. That's his name. Now, it's strange to have a deity named God the healer who doesn't heal. That's his name. God the healer. I'm going to heal you. So God wants to heal. Deuteronomy 7:12, if you pay attention, careful attention to everything. I'm going to keep my covenant with you. I'm going to love you. God will love you. He will bless you. He will increase your numbers. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor will any of your livestock be without young. So he's going to bless. He's going to bless your body. He's going to bless your land, the crops. He's going to bless your livestock. And he's going to give you long life. Now that's just for starters. There's a whole lot more, but that's for starters. Now, was there a condition there? What was it? Yeah, if you obey him. Now, the problem was there were some fairly truant Israelites. They just kind of had that old problem of going to those other gods all the time and kind of doing stuff they shouldn't have been doing. And so, you know, they had some times when they were walking in great blessing, but often, you know, it was more smiting and cursing. And so the prophets finally said this: God's going to send an anointed one, a Messiah, called the Christ. He's going to be the suffering servant. And he's going to take all your bad stuff on his own body, on a tree, because cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. He's going to lift the curse. And the way you're going to know it is when he comes, he's going to walk in all this. He's going to activate all these promises and more. You're going to come into Jubilee. Everybody goes free. Get out of jail card. It's Luke 4, Spirit of the Lord's upon me. And when they asked Jesus, are you the Messiah? His credentials were the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the poor have the good news preached to them. God's intention all along was to bless everything that moves. But because we were fallen, there was a tension. His holiness is love. So we've entered into the new age. The new age. The age of Messiah. Everything in the Old Testament that he wanted to do, he's free to do it. It's yours. From Genesis 12, well, Genesis 1, all the way through to the end. It's yours. Now, I don't know. I'm still working on it. I don't know why we're not walking in the degree that we need to. I just don't know why. I don't know. Pastor Billy knows, but he'll teach me more perfectly on the way tomorrow when we're fishing. As true disciples of Jesus. But I've been around enough to know, unless you start contending for this thing, you're not going to enter into it. You got to contend. I mean, Jacob, he wrestled with the angel and said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Every one of the patriarchs were contended for in their area of blessing. What does that mean? What was the promise to Abraham? What's the primary promise? Primary one. Yeah, he's going to bless him. How? What's the big deal? Yeah. The whole thing breaks down if he doesn't get a kid. I mean, you got no one to go take over the Canaanite houses, for goodness sakes. Just servants. So unless he gets a kid, everything's contingent on that. Where does the enemy confront him? Where is he contended for? A kid. He's promised that he's going to bless the whole wide world, and the contention is on the promise. I don't know if you realize this, but the first three matriarchs of the whole thing were all barren. First three. Sarah, barren. Rebecca, barren. Rachel, barren. They're all barren. But they contended for the blessing, and God broke through. Some of you have been contending for a long time. I mean, we're going to pray for Andrew again. He's been contending for a long time. Some of you have had things we don't have answers for. But unless someone somewhere starts contending, confronting this evil, this wrong hate doctrine, and stuff that does not come from God but from the devil himself, Jesus Christ went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil. And the guys who've seen most of the stuff, you know, they just pushed in and they contended. I don't know how many people we lose because we're not in the game. Remember Moses on the hill? Go take on the Amalekites. Children of Israel went to take on the Amalekites. Moses lifted his hands. He prayed. He interceded. When Moses' hands were up, what happened? The Israelites were winning. Do you know what that means? That means you're not getting killed. This is not Monopoly. When Moses' hands were down, the Amalekites were winning. What does that mean? That means your sons and your daughters, your men and your fathers were getting killed. Guys were dying. Arms up, arms down. I don't know how many we lose because we don't show up. Because we don't even think about it. We don't believe this. We don't even believe it. Oh, that's to the Jew. That's to Paul. That's to Peter. I mean, a lot of people just have a couple letters and some leather covers. That's the Bible they believe. No, you want to believe it all. All. So, the Lord is pouring out his spirit on healing. These are the days of Elijah. I just want to thank you. Someone, Claude, asked me, how's your son? And I'll close with this, then we'll have the team up and we'll start to pray. my son, 2 years ago just or so, was playing rugby. He was tackled, went forward, his head hit the ground, snapped just like that, instantly snapped, broke his C4, C5 vertebrae, and shattered the bones. And I saw the x-ray, and his spinal cord was like a spaghetti. The doctors were very sober. I tried 50 different ways to get an answer out of them. They would give me no answer. We will know more in weeks, months, years. We can fix broken bones. We cannot fix spinal cords. Instantly quadriplegic. Instantly. I didn't know it, thankfully. But I heard about it later because I had a whole bunch of friends that were insiders in the hospital, nurses and people. The doctors, they said there was no hope. There was no explanation. They have no explanation for what happened. 96% chance you'll never move again. Just a head on a plate. A head on a pallet. That's it. And Stacy, she was conferencing somewhere out east, Madison, Wisconsin. When I phoned her, put the phone to Judah's ear. He said, Mom, I can't feel anything. She said, son, things that are impossible with men are possible with God. I'm going to go pray. And she went upstairs, and she took out Daniel 7, Ancient of Days, and she began to just war with Ancient of Days. You know, God, I'm asking that you would get up from your throne, pronounce judgment in favor of my son. She just took the passage, applied the passage. And just warred. A couple days later, the intercessor that prayed for her other son for a year, fasted and prayed for him for a year, writes back, says, "Stacy, we're so sorry. We heard about Judah. And I want you to know we're praying for you." Stacy says, "Did the Lord show you anything?" She said, "As a matter of fact, he did. The day, Saturday, when it happened, I had this terrible burden to pray for you and your family. Like something bad was coming to attack." She wasn't the only one. The funny guy, the comedian guy, Doug Addison. She was preaching with him, and he got this burden all afternoon. He began to weep, and he felt that someone was coming to attack our family or children, and it was a spirit of death. And I mean, he could have just that quick. And he prayed for hours for her, and he got 350 intercessors praying. And at supper time, he came, he says, "Stacy, here's what I saw." But at 5 o'clock, it broke. And that was the time when he had the accident. So we knew something was up. She didn't know that it had even happened yet. And so this intercessor from Brazil, she says, "What I saw was this. I interceded for you, and there was great travail all day long. And then finally," she said, "I had a vision. And I had a vision of God sitting on his throne in heaven. And then, Stacy, the most amazing thing, he got up from his throne. And he came over to you, Stacy, and he began to wash your feet. And he said, 'Stacy, I'm here. I love you.'" When she heard that on day three, it was like, we knew. The long story short, he walked out in 5 weeks, carrying his bed with him. Praise the Lord. I'm happy, and I thank God, and I'm continually pained every time I see a wheelchair. Every time I see the other person who's praying and crying out to God, and I'm saying, "God, we need more. We need more. We need more people to contend. We need more people to believe. We need more people to just stretch out. There's so much to learn, but there's oceans to swim in." Amen?